Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello, hello.
Sorry you can't get through.
They like my ways. But listen, I stopped talking to a girl before for not voting.
This guy is good. Mano is good as a mother.
You, ladies,
Christ.
Make sure you get out there and vote. It's important.
Wow.
I swear to God, man.
You would rather she vote. It don't matter who she votes for. Just get out there and vote.
It was something that she said, though. That was just
what did she
just
say?
So
this
mad,
is going
to
hold Obama.
It was Obama re-election.
Okay.
And we
she was like, man, my vote don't count.
Nah, and somehow we was talking about Obama. You know, I'll be watching the news. Obama came up, and I was like, "Yo, you voted?" She was like, "Voted for what? They gonna kill him anyway." I said, "What?
God.
Wow, who was?"
Do you want to take a guess where this said girl was from, Just Jay?
New Jersey.
Brooklyn. The Fire Squad. Return to greatness. Your man, I popped off. We here. We strong. We back. In full effect, like welfare checks, as my man, O Diesel, always says. Speaking of Dr. DiBiase, Doom Diesel.
Circumcised but uncompromised. I'm in effect, man. Let's go. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today in the Farmer's Squad. The world don't stop. Let's go.
And the man, the only man that I know that goes to a pizzeria and when they ask him what's his order, he asks for a plain slice, a regular slice, and a slice with nothing on it. The man, the myth, Just Jay.
It makes sense.
Makes sense to me. So, we lost one of hip-hop's brightest, lyrical, funny stars. Sean Price, a.k.a. Ruck from Helter Skelter, Who Can't Click. O Diesel, your thoughts on the loss, his legacy, and what he meant to you?
Man, you know, we talk a lot on hip-hop, and, you know, when you cover this stuff, you see, you know, every once in a while you feel death, and you'll be like, man, that's fucked up. But you don't really have that connection because you don't know them. I knew Sean Price, man, and he was a great guy. It's so funny, man, because that was the first Boot Camp album that kind of surprised everybody, that Helter Skelter. Because, you know, I skipped the Shining, because I thought really they were just taking Buckshot's reggae flow and expanding and shit. So I didn't really get into that till like last year, you know. And Sean Price and made their debut on that. So now you get the floor of the fly, you're like, all right, it's dope, whatever. But when Nocturnal dropped, it was like, oh. It was a surprise, like the Infamous was a surprise. And it's actually aged very well. But Sean Price is important for many reasons. And most important, he is the stone upon which Duck Down resurrected. You know, after that first Brooklyn wave, they kind of died a little bit in the early 2000s. And Monkey Bars was the first of the Triple Threat album. You know, Buckshot, Knife Wonder dropped one, and Smith & Wesson dropped one, it's Tekken Steel. And they had the, you know, the cartoon wraparound cover and everything's pretty dope. But Monkey Bars was the first release, and it was the best one out of the three. And it gave Duck Down the momentum to start signing other artists and branching out past the whole beat minus thing. So he's important for that. I remember the first time I saw him on stage, All Hip Hop had one of those All Hip Hop Week events at this club. And he was on the undercard and he was performing. And it was just so lazy. I remember laughing at that shit like, yo, what is this? But When I started my own movement in 2009, man, over Planet Ill, the Duck Down family gave my family a lot of access. And I got to know Sean Price. We interviewed him after Jesus Price Superstar and again after his last album, Mike Tyson. He was at all times respectful. He was to the point. There was no flim-flam, no fakeness about him. We talked about religion. We talked about the streets. We talked about Decepticons. We talked about everything. And he was unafraid to go on record. And I'm going to miss him, man. He was a good guy. And, you know, my last interview with him, he had just had his daughter. And she actually ended up on the recording, you know, at the end of it. So I'll always remember him, his music, you know, the bars, man. You know, a lot of people get away with having dope styles or dope voices. But when you really key in on what they're talking about, they ain't saying shit, or it's not as spectacular as it would have sounded without that voice, that delivery. Sean Price was the opposite of that, man. It was just straight bars, straight delivery, you know, just straight feet without French fries and the Coke, man. Just, he just hit you and hit you and hit you with bars, man. And he single-handedly saved that Random Acts album from being very mediocre. So my heart goes out to his family. I heard Jay-Z hit the fund with a little dough. I heard Eminem hit the fund with a little dough for his family. So shout out to those guys. And rest in peace, man. It's a big loss to hip-hop. Not the rap music industry or any of that shit, but it's a real loss to hip-hop.
Everything that
you're from Brooklyn.
Everything that OD just said was on point. I mean, the guy was a rapper's rapper. You know, he was supremely talented rapping. The way he branched out and formed this persona, aside from being a rapper, just being him in front of the camera, joking around and bringing people into what a lot of times, you know, is an off-putting world. A lot of times rappers don't want to be as anything other than this
super Negro
star. And this guy brought you into the world by proclaiming he's the brokest rapper you know. There was no, from afar, there was nothing that was unapproachable about him. Right, just looking at it as a fan of the music, there was nothing unapproachable about him. He gave you lyrics that if you are one of those, you know, quote unquote rap purists, this is what you want your MC to be. Slow presence lyrics. That was P. And it's very, you know, it's sad that in the climate that we're living in right now, that someone so young and so talented got taken away.
And it's died in his sleep. Remember we used to worry about 20-somethings getting their brains popped off or fucking mouthing off?
Exactly.
Now we got rappers dying in their sleep on some Heavy D-ish, man.
And it's, It's a peer, you know, it's someone in my generation. And when I heard, you know, this is personal for me because, you know, last week I was talking to my wife, talking to my sisters or whatever, and it was just like, yo, I'm bald-headed, fat Haitian from Brooklyn. Got to change the fat part.
Yeah, man.
Right? So I'm even having these conversations with my family, my wife, my sisters, all last week. And I actually started to do something about that. I called another fat brother of mine on the Friday. I was like, yo, I'm doing this. You need to start getting on this as well. Because shit is drastic. The next day, homeboy dies in his sleep from natural, whatever, unnatural causes.
Ain't shit natural about a 43-year-old dying.
Nothing natural about that. That really shook me to the core because a few days prior, I had made a promise to myself that this time would be different. And the guy really brought that into... How could someone passing bring your own life into focus when you didn't even know the person? Like, that speaks volumes about how other people that you know, that I know personally, speak about that person. It speaks volumes about what the people that I know who knew Sean Price, how they regarded him, that his passing had an effect on my life at that moment. There's nothing greater than you can possibly say about someone, and it's beyond the music. But the music is tough. Don't get it twisted. The music is tough. Like I said in the opening, this guy was a rapper's rapper.
Nickname Napalm Sean.
And he's gonna be, his presence, the presence that when you lose someone who's about the lyrical content, who's about the flow, who's about the delivery, who's about the craft of making dope rap music, when hip hop loses people like that who impact other people, who impact people who have maybe a wider audience, but they're still impacted by that person, that's a loss. Hip hop suffered a great, great loss. His family suffered a great, great loss. His friends have suffered a great, great loss. 43 years old, man. And it wasn't from the gun clapping, like OD just said.
That's a hard pill to swallow. Yeah, man. He got me back into the game, man. I wrote my first post in like months the other day, and I wish it was for a different reason, you know.
Speaking of, Judge Jay, have you donated or plan to donate to the Sean Price Family Fund?
I do not. I'm not going to. I'm glad to hear that there are rappers who are supporting, and they should continue to support. His veteran in boot camp, hopefully they will also continue to support. But me personally as a fan, no, I will not.
Oh, Diesel, have you donated or plan to donate?
Nah, I buy his last album. He was actually working on a mixtape, Songs in the Key of Price. I think they might release that.
It's supposed to be.
If they do, I'll definitely buy that. I don't know, Planet Ill might donate, but a personal donation, probably not.
Thank you. I don't plan to donate. I used to buy his record.
And, yeah, I don't, you know, it's kind of like when somebody dies and you don't have no open business with them, I mean, then they can die in peace, know. I didn't know my mom nothing. So when she died, I didn't have any. I miss her, but I didn't have any problems with her passing. We covered Sean Price when he was alive. I don't have to regret that I didn't cover him. I don't have to regret that I didn't buy his album, because we bought
like
his album.
We
showed love while he was breathing. So I don't have to feel guilty about that.
A lot of people do feel guilty, though.
As well they should. You know what? I tell you this, man. It's a lot of people talking that real hip-hop shit, and they stay outraged when somebody says something that supposedly flies in the face of hip-hop. You ask these motherfuckers what albums they got. You ask them, did you hear this? Nah. Did you hear this? Nah. Did you buy this? Nah. But then what are you talking about?
Talking about the popular.
You know? When Ebro said what he said about Sean Price, the firing squad jumped on his ass. You know what I'm saying? We did not co-sign that asshole. We got on his ass. Planet Ill got on his ass. I don't have to feel a way about Sean Price dying professionally, because when he was still rhyming, we was there. If you look up Sean Price on my website right now, there's pages of shit, including 3 interviews. I have to feel sorry professionally about his loss. I feel that loss personally because I knew him.
Moving forward. Just Jake.
I'm here.
Eno Smith. He does not respect his jaw.
He ran, but
you
he
agree?
Didn't get far because I dropped him.
Does he not respect his jaw?
He does not.
Not knowing exactly what lied ahead.
Eno.
Eno Smith. My mother sent him out for bread.
I mean, can the Jets ever get it right?
They're the Jets. Hell no, they can't get it right.
Can they ever just get it right? You hired another black man. I'm glad to see another black man in a coaching position. You say Eno's going to be. my starting quarterback. You get Revis back. You get Brandon Marshall. You get Cromartie.
They Obama that nigga. They gave him the job and came up.
It's looking up.
Oh, man.
You're excited about this. It's like, if only Eno can play, you know, semi-well, we'll be good.
Jokes on you, player.
Same old Jeff. Over $600. Somebody named IK breaks Eno Smith's jaw.
That shit's very funny.
Where was the rest of the team? This
watching
is
that shit unfold.
Can you envision someone who's a 6th-round pick punching Tom Brady?
Oh, that would never happen.
Punching Matt Stafford? Punching Kaepernick? Even though we might want him to get punched, but they wouldn't let it happen. No one's going around punching Matt Ryan in the face. No one's going around punching Jameis Winston, and he hasn't even played a down in the league yet. They're not punching him in the face. Why? Because the team understands this is the starting quarterback. There has to be some sort of respect level, not only for the person, but for the position. The Jets have none of that.
But what's
that
worse,
is a
though?
Sorry ass locker room.
What's worse, the fact that he punched him in the face, or the fact that punching him in the face and taking him out 6 weeks might have improved their chances of winning?
I'm not sold on Fitzpatrick. I don't know.
Oh, nobody's sold on him.
Yeah, I'm not sold on Fitzpatrick. We all, you know, there's a reason he's been on so many teams in his 10 years in the league. So,
oh, I don't disagree.
Not sold on Fitzpatrick. Is he better than Geno? Possibly.
Yeah.
But
like, he ain't the savior, but he might be.
Exactly. But Geno Smith getting punched in the jaw and is out 6 to 10 weeks as a Jets fan, how does that make you feel?
You're a Jets fan. You already feel bad.
And then on top of it,
that's your normal
state. The guy who did it gets picked up by
your old coach.
Your old coach.
You can't make this shit up, man.
Rex Ryan my father says, I'm going to sign this guy.
As well he should.
That's got to burn you as a Jets fan. It's got to cause pain. Like, you can't get out of your own way as a franchise.
That's like catching your ex sucking your best friend's dick now.
It's just a horrible situation. Like, why? Why was this allowed to happen? If they saw this argument happening in the locker room, who are the leaders in the locker room who are going to say to their quarterback, or better yet, to a sixth-round pick, yo, that's the quarterback, chill. Who's in the locker room that's going to do that?
Well, apparently, the story is that, the real story is that he didn't get sucker punched. He put his finger, dude didn't get his ass whipped over $600. He got his ass whipped over being disrespectful. He put, the kid asked him to be, to volunteer to come talk to his kids at his camp, right? He says, okay. But apparently his man died in a motorcycle accident or some shit, so he no-showed. He didn't call him, but he no-showed. He said, all right, man, I'll give you back the $600 for the plane ticket. 1 month go by, 2 months go by, 3 months go by, he ain't got his money back. Now, mind you, this is a six-round pick. So he might need $600, ain't exactly nothing to the guy, right? So they had a scuffle earlier in camp, and they walked away from it, right? So Geno puts his finger in the guy's face and says, you ain't going to do shit about it. Well, now, at that point, it's no longer about $600. It's about what the fuck you going to do about it? Now, there's two responses you can have to a what the fuck you going to do about it. You can take the high road and walk away, and possibly having your teammates on a team you're trying to make question your heart, or you can lay his bitch ass out. Now, I'm sure he probably didn't think he was going to break his jaw. He probably thought Geno was going to square up, but such is life. You poke the bear, you might get pawed. It is what it is. They're the Jets. I don't care about them anyway.
Quarterbacks are assholes. We know this.
Not like that, man.
Nor the quarterback, no matter what they do, is that happening to. That's my contention.
Yeah.
The Jets locker room failed.
Revis failed. Revis was there.
They failed.
How's that working
Jets
out?
Jets locker room failed. And they better figure it out quickly, because if you don't got locker room together, a 2-14 season is not far away.
He ran, but he didn't get far because I dropped him.
I don't know. I popped off.
Can't make this stuff up, Jeff, man.
Jeff J.
I have a question for you. You ask first. Go ahead.
Thank you. You're a scholar and a gentleman.
I am.
Now that we know, that's what I did. That's why I said it.
I'm just reaffirming.
Okay, reaffirmed. Now that we know it was a sign and motion of disrespect, not a sucker punch, do you justify the African's response?
No, it's still not justified. No. He's the quarterback of the team. No.
old
African
Diesel.
African put himself above the team.
Old Diesel.
Yo.
If some nigga asks you what the fuck you want to do in front of your team.
Oh,
now,
lights
now,
out.
Again. What happened?
Lights out. Knuckle sandwich.
I agree. At first, I was like, oh, if it was a sucker punch, I was like...
Yeah, if it was a sucker punch...
You know
if it was a yeah, exactly. If it was a sucker punch, that's something different. You put your hand in a grown man face and think that it's not going to happen to you?
Y'all
it's
too violent.
And especially in front of the football team?
Oh, y'all
in front
violent.
Of the whole team?
Y'all too violent.
Hey, he got...
chance.
Nah, B, there's no peace.
Nah,
I give you the Al Sharpton. No justice, no peace.
Just Jay, your question.
Yes, my question for you is, if given a chance to run up and deck Colin Kaepernick,
yes,
bring
toast.
His jaw, would you take the chance? A clean getaway
if I'm just me?
A clean getaway is not guaranteed. There's a 50-50 chance you might get away, 50-50 chance you'll be caught. Just you.
Just me? I'm not on a football team. It's just
nope.
me.
Just plain old I popped off.
Nah, man. I'm not going to sweat that whole ass, nigga.
Okay.
But if I was on a football team and he was talking slick to me,
you would.
Then it'd be such a different situation. But I'm not gonna sneak him just to be, you know. Then I would be a hoe just like him. Moving forward, another unarmed African American. Dot. Are we even surprised? Oh, Diesel.
No, we're not, man. I think in Texas, this is starting to become par for the course. You know, this is like the third shooting or so this year where some schmuck has shot somebody. Like, not a real cop or not a trained cop, but either some rookie. Or that case a few months ago where the fucking guy bought his way on as an auxiliary cop with a gun, shot somebody, said, I'm sorry. Oh, my God. You know, in the tradition of George Zimmerman or the fucking mall cop, like, why in Texas are these untrained morons running around with guns? And that's giving them the benefit of the doubt. That's a best case scenario is that there's some moron and not some race warrior, some asshole who's got a hard on trying to, you know, kill some kid. I mean, okay, the kid drove his car through a dealership. You know, he's a teenager. He could have pressed the gas instead of the brake. There's so many things that could have happened that have nothing to do with criminal activity for this to have become some, you know, nothing rather than something, man. And, you know, something's got to give, man. Again, how many times we got to have this episode? How many times we got to talk about something like this before somebody gets a bullet in their head? Or to their ribs? Or to wherever? You know, we're a year after Mac Brown. When is enough going to be enough, man? You kind of get tired of talking about it, you know?
Just Jay.
It's not surprised, man. Not surprised at all. It's be clear. There are two sets of rules in America. Sets of rules for black people, sets of rules for white people. Black, Latino, brown, whatever you want to call yourself, you cannot live life when talking to the police as if you know you have rights. They don't look at individuals they see only what they perceive to be criminal behavior that we all supposedly exhibit. Police officers in this country are not trained. They cannot empathize. They cannot even, most of the time, view the humanity of black and brown people. We are always the other. Christian Taylor didn't deserve to die. He's 19 years old. I don't know why he was doing the things that he was doing. I saw a video of a white man in a police station, half naked, fighting police officers, throwing punches at police officers.
And they holding guns off police officers.
They restrained that man. No shots were fired. No tasers. They rushed them and restrained them. I've seen videos of, like OD just said, white men pulling guns on police officers and getting talked down for hours, negotiated with to put down your weapon. We don't want to kill you. Because they see the basic humanity of that other person. That's something that they don't afford to us. So no, I'm not surprised. And I'm not going to be surprised when there's another one next week, tomorrow, next month, another outrage, another family trying to find answers to why their loved one was killed when they posed no threat to a police officer. I won't be surprised. I'm past that stage of life. America can no longer claim to be blind to the facts. We see what's going on, and it's up to us to change them, to change the dynamic. I don't want anyone's children or my future children to have to live under some sort of oppressive police state, where any interaction they have with the people who are there to protect and serve could lead to their death.
Speaking of police shootings, Ferguson, the Oath Keepers turned up, showed up in an effort to quote unquote keep peace in their community. Your thoughts, Just Jay?
I mean, this is just further evidence of what we've been talking about for over a year, you know? This is a paramilitary right wing racist group. I said it. That's what they are. And they go marching in, guns out, because it's their Second Amendment right to do what the police want. What are you there for? You're not members of the community. None of your family lives in the area. You're there to try to intimidate the protesters. You're there to try to intimidate black and brown Americans and say to us that, hey, we're here with our guns, and if you step out of line, we will shoot you. If the police won't do it, we will do it. That's the message. This peaceful shit is passé. I saw in Walla, Texas,
the new Black Panther Party, marching in front of the police station where Sandra Bland died with their guns. Their Second Amendment rights. I've long been an opponent of guns. Y'all know this. I don't adhere to that, you know, violent greed that I popped off and old Diesel, you know, obviously love. But I'm here to say today, Black and brown folks in America, get your gun registration if you can. Because there are people out there, and it's not just a fringe, it's not just a small minority, there are large swaths of white Americans who really believe within the next decade that they're going to be in the midst of a war. And they're loading up. The Oath Keepers is one of many, many such groups throughout the country.
Boy, y'all out here playing. Shooting guns sideways and doing stupid
registration
shit.
Up. Go to a shooting range. Learn how to shoot properly. Learn how to load and reload properly. Because there are people out there who are intent on intimidating us. They are intent on showing us that if things go sideways, they are ready to destroy us. This is not hyperbole. This is in people's manifestos. They have a Second Amendment right. You're an American citizen. You have no felonies. Your state allows you to open carry. Let's see what happens when 10 brothers go into a Walmart, open carry state, Georgia, and proclaim their Second Amendment rights. And when the cops come, let's see what happens when the cops come. Will it be like they did with Clive and Bundy, where the feds actually back down? Where these Oath Keepers who are there in Nevada trying to defend Clive and Bundy, where they actually said, we have federal agents in our sights. If anybody makes a move, we're going to start shooting. Will they afford you the same opportunity? It's time that we found out. The Black Panthers of the 60s were onto something. I don't know about this new Black Panther Party. I can't say what they are, what they stand for. I have no idea. But I know the original Black Panther Party, when they went marching on the Capitol, California, with their guns and proclaim their rights as American citizens to do so, the foundation was shook. Maybe it's time we started to think about along those paths again.
Yo, it speaks to the cowardice of the police force in general. It's like the United States, right? When they got one and you don't got one, they popping all kind of shit. The minute you get one, now it's time to negotiate. Now they want to talk. And that's why you never take any weapon out of your arsenal when it's time to negotiate. That peace shit only worked because there was a threat of violence behind it. Yo, y'all can listen to Malcolm or y'all can listen to Martin. Which one y'all want? And they chose Martin for good reason. But that peace shit would not have worked if there was not a violent alternative. These people do not respect anything other than violence and force. When you run up on the police and you got guns too, they want to talk. We've seen it time after time after time. They want to go today. They want to go home to their family too. But when everybody got one, you know that the chances you going home to your family is a whole lot slimmer than it used to be. So now you want to talk. when somebody got a hostage, what they do? They negotiate. They don't just run in there and shoot them. They do that after everything fails. They don't just run in there and shoot them. Because they know if he got a gun on a hostage, he can have one on you. And that's really what it boils down to, man. You know? Sandra Bland didn't have no hammer on her, man. None of these other black people had hammers on them. You pull out hammers, you got to negotiate. So, it is what it is, man. Fuck the police. And then,
speaking
you know,
of white privilege.
Yeah.
Continue, D.
You know, and they say, well, not all cops are bad, but if you serve them with them and you see their behavior and you don't report their behavior, you're just as bad. So, nah, it ain't. It ain't no good cop. Because good cops report and then they get fired. So, nah, it's not.
Speaking of white privilege, can Donald Trump actually win, O'Diesel?
No, ain't a shot in hell. Can he make it out of the Republic in primary? Probably not. You know, this reminds me of the last presidential race, where the news kept trying to make it look like Mitt Romney had a shot in hell of winning the presidency. And he didn't. He didn't. It was never close. Obama got over 50% of the vote. That's Reagan numbers. So there was no chance. But the way it looked watching television was, oh, shit, man, Obama might lose. Hell no, he might not lose. And Trump ain't going to win shit. This is people playing in the primary. This ain't people voting. You know, people might like to hear what you got to say. They might, oh, yeah, it's cute, it's cute. When they house is on the line, when they kids and they livelihood is on the line, nobody voting for that fucking guy. And, you know, really the only Republican that could beat Hillary Clinton is Jeb Bush anyway. So, you know, it is what it is. I really don't care about Donald Trump. I think he's a piece of shit and a bigot and a charlatan and a liar. But I'm glad that he's given those idiots some of their own medicine. I'm extraordinarily happy for that. So, we'll see how it goes, man. But nah, I ain't gonna win shit.
I think he can win. I think he actually has a chance of pulling this off. And if he doesn't win, of making it really sketchy for whoever comes out of the Republican Party for president.
Now, are you saying president or are you saying Republican primary?
Primary.
Okay, because I'm about to say...
Primary.
Yeah, I could see that. I hope
I can see him winning the primary. Because he's saying all the racist shit that the majority of Republicans believe.
Yeah.
And that's what they want to hear. And they really believe that he's going to make Mexico pay for a wall. And they really believe that all these things that Donald Trump is saying, they think that he'll pull it off because he's a businessman.
Populist idiot shit, man.
Republican.
Oh, by the way, sidebar, Detroit 20, Jets 3.
Same old. You know, Republicans to me are like, they're looking for like some sort of daddy, you know, figure. Somebody who has all the answers, who appears to be really tough. And, oh, you know, we'll just go bomb Iran and we'll bomb Iraq and we'll get rid of ISIS.
With no thought.
We'll bomb all of these places and, you know, because America has to be strong and we have to talk about these things because we are America and when we say something, everybody listens. A large number of Republican voters believe or want to believe in that sort of leadership. And Donald Trump is giving it to them. So I believe that yes, he can win the primary. especially with this lackluster field of opponents. Let's be real. Jeb Bush, boring. Scott Walker, double boring. I was about to say Herman Cain. Ben Carson, crazy. Rand Paul, crazy. Like, there are really no good alternatives for the Republican Party. And it's, it wouldn't surprise me in the least if he won. He'll never be president, but he could be the nominee.
Moving forward, we're going to the food topic. We are discussing the egg and cheese. Oh, Diesel, why hasn't the egg and cheese ever made the pivotal jump to lunchtime, given bougie Negroes are putting eggs on their hamburgers?
Well, you know, that's one of life's great mysteries, you know. And I think it's more the fault of the producers rather than the consumers. The breakfast food is very cheap, but the turnover is not that high. People will only pay a certain amount for a breakfast sandwich unless you're stuck in the airport, right? So you go in a bodega and somebody says a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich. What's the price of that bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich, sir? $3.50 at most. And if it's a penny over $3.50, they're going to look at you and go, are you fucking crazy? So when you in Midtown, you trying to get these dollar bills, right? Now, you, aside from the dollar pizza people and Grace Papaya and all those people selling 2-for-1 hot, you know, hot dogs, with all that rent to pay, you can't afford to have your whole day filled with breakfast food. Because you're not like a McDonald's where people have to. Oh, by the way, I had the most fantastic McDonald's burger today. The Bacon Club. It's like a third pound, right? It had grilled onions, I believe white cheddar, and it had Big Mac sauce. It was fucking fat on a toasted artisan bun. It was actually very delicious. It was probably the best McDonald's hamburger since the McDLT. I was very impressed. But back to egg and cheese. Yeah, I don't think that the revenue from egg and cheese is enough to sustain most businesses in thriving metropolis. So, you know. Plus, you know what? There's also an egg shortage right now. So, when you're talking about, you know, you got places like there are ice cream shops right now that sell custard that have switched to soft serve ice cream because the pinch on eggs is making the price of these things too much. So you're going to have to, your price is going up, and you're going to try to sell that egg sandwich, and there's only but so much that people will pay for an egg sandwich. So that's the reason. I think it's on the supply side, not the demand side. I mean, clearly people will eat breakfast all day. You know, McDonald's is considering selling breakfast items all day. A few of the other guys already do it. You know, Jack in the Box has always sold breakfast all day. So it, you know, it works. People will eat breakfast all day. But when you start talking about having to meet that nut every month, yeah, breakfast won't do it for you.
Just Jay, would you be caught eating a breakfast sandwich, an egg and cheese during lunchtime?
Yes, absolutely, with no hesitation, on a roll, toasted, lightly, split down the middle,
And O'Diesel, your thoughts. If I get my breakfast sandwich with American cheese, is it worse than being caught with sneakers on leave?
You know what? That's one of the few things that American cheese is fairly acceptable for. I think American cheese may be put out to pasture soon. It's good for ham and it's good for breakfast sandwiches because of that cheesy meltiness that it has. But that's really all you can get away with it on. Like, everything else is cheddar and you know, turkey got it. You get turkey and Swiss, you know? You know, the white cheeses have exerted their hegemony on the American populace. You know, turkey mutz, turkey and Swiss. People have, if you get on Amtrak and you get a ham sandwich, it comes with Munster cheese. So, you know, the white cheese supremacy has certainly, you know, filtered the American populace. And they don't even need to kill, you know, American cheese motorists. They can just, they cordoned him off. They just let him have ham. Yeah, you can have ham. And breakfast sandwiches. And omelets. Omelets.
Oh, dear. I popped off. I would posit that one of the reasons that the egg and cheese has not made the jump to brunch is because of its simplicity. It's so just basic. It's a no-frills sandwich. Like, you're not really fancy eating the egg and cheese.
However,
so until something is added to give it a facelift, it's going to be regulated to the bodegas of the world. There needs to be some sort of facelift given to the egg and cheese to move it up the ladder. Because people are just simply not impressed. Negroes are looking to impress at a brunch. The egg and cheese is so basic that the wow factor just isn't there. You hardly hear anyone say in a good way, wow, you eating the egg and cheese? Normally is, wow, you eating the egg and cheese? You see the difference in the inflection? There's a different meaning. And until you could get that wow factor, it's not going to be moved up. It's going to be on the bench.
I would tend to disagree. I believe that the egg and cheese is the teacher Moses of the culinary world, the complex simplicity. It lends itself to many different avenues of flavor. You can croissant it. You can bacon it. You can ham it. You can sausage it. You can spinach it. You can tomato it. You can grilled cheese it. So the egg and cheese combo are very malleable in terms of the ability to become almost chameleon-like.
But then it's no longer consumption. Egg and cheese.
It's egg and cheese.
No, it's egg and cheese and spinach. And that's the facelift that I'm talking about. If it's egg and cheese on a artisan croissant, that's the facelift that I'm giving it. So, yeah, that facelift will elevate it. But we're talking about a basic egg and cheese sandwich, which is, I don't think, will ever make
I don't think it even exists
elite.
Without bacon. So, I mean, yeah.
It'll never make the... But it's a bacon egg and cheese sandwich. You see the difference. There
yeah,
is an egg
yeah.
and cheese.
Yeah.
There is an egg and cheese. When you go to the back of the finger,
I'm in denial. I'm in denial about solely egg and cheese. I'm going to have to come to grips with that.
Salt and pepper on a toasted roll. Ketchup on it, please. Egg and cheese.
I'm going to pass. I'm going to pass on that. As Bruce Jenner once famously said at a party last weekend, where's the meat?
Oh, man.
And with that, let's close the show. Yeah, with that. with that comment, let's close the show. So, the party shot. So, Diesel, can you finish yours? Can you get yours done already?
Oh man.
Shout out to Marvel Comics for introducing another black female character, Devil Dinosaur, who was a Jack Kirby creation, a big red Tyrannosaurus Rex, has a new partner by the name of Moon Girl. Black girl with glasses, a nice big bun, poof kind of thing going on in their hair. Looks very normal, you know. No spectacular, you know, when they make bad characters, they seem to be caricatures of certain things. And this one looks regular, to which I applaud them. We'll see how it goes, but I'll shout them out for bringing her out in the first place.
I mean,
Jess J, your parting shot, sir.
Yeah, it's, you know, we spoke about it. It's to the Jets fan. You know, you went into the year thinking things would be different. You really want to believe that things
never
will
be the same again.
You want to believe that it will get better. And then you get hit with the Eno
things
three.
You put me through.
I mean, life as a Jet fan must be horrible. And I just want to shout them out because they're there. They exist. They keep on keeping on. And I don't know why.
They got to feel like McFadden and Whitehead. You know, ain't no stopping us now. It's, like, how would they feel if they saw, like, the crack era? Because we got stopped.
We
got stopped.
I mean,
things are not finally coming around. We got stopped.
It's Eno Smith gets his jaw broken by his teammate.
Over
$600 and popping shit. Yeah.
My parting shot is a special.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I popped off. This guy dropped.
His parting shot is to the phone company.
I think we lost him in the midst. He must still be talking somewhere. It might exist, but we won't get to hear it. So, OD?
Yo.
This is what we do. Every Thursday.
Firing squad, man. Thursday, 9 to 10 every week, man.
And hopefully, you know, next week we'll be able to give you two parting shots from I Popped Off.
Yeah, man.
And with that,
mass is ended. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Or whoever
out.
You believe in. Rest in peace, Sean Price. We out.
Peace.